Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and I tell you, it is gorgeous. We had this tropical storm that they gave us a warning on yesterday morning, and you know what? We were blessed. By yesterday afternoon, it had dissipated, and all we're getting is some scattered thunder showers, which we can use the rain just like everybody else. So it's been an awesome morning. Just got back from my favorite watering hole meeting with some great guys. My accountability partner, Tim Douglas, my pastor, Eric Parton, one of our good businessmen down here that owns a dry cleaning, Richard. I met with Arliss. I tell you, just a great morning. When you can run around, focus on growth. Focus on your roadmap for success. Focus on where you're going in life, where your business is going. Then you know you're in the right direction. Sadly, and John's going to talk about this in this chapter, sadly, most people aren't focused. You know, they let the everyday situations in life get the better of them. And in doing that, they have no idea how to get from there to here. How do you go about moving out of your current situation, moving into the passion, into the purpose, into the vision that you have in your life? This book has been phenomenal. And as I shared with you guys over the last few days, I read the original book in 1997. It was a flashpoint in my life. It was a time when the boys were there, and I would literally set in the evening time going through the book, The Success Journey, The Purpose of Living Your Dreams. It helped to formulate some of the, as I went into the next chapter of my life. John writes this right in the opening of this. He says, "To tell you the truth, over the years I've met a lot who treat life like a Sunday drive. They seem to be saying, let's just go and we'll see where we end up." Now, you know, I find that interesting because we took Sunday drives, but Paige and I take probably more drives now than we ever did as kids, and we always know where we're going to end up. We have a specific purpose, even in the Sunday drives that we go on. And yet so many people go through life without these Sunday, without purpose, without having a destination. John writes this, he says, "I love a good adventure as much as anyone, but I'm not willing to risk squandering my potential or not fulfilling my purpose by setting back passively and letting things happen the old way." If you guys have followed me at all, you know that one of my favorite phrases is living an epic adventure. And our life is truly an adventure. And every aspect of the adventure, if you study epic adventures, whether it's the Bible, whether it's some romance, whether it's Gone with the Wind, I don't care what it is, everything has a purpose. The people, their lives, how they interact, everything has a purpose. If you're trying to go through life and you have not created that purpose, if you don't know what your purpose is, then sadly you may end up in life unfulfilled. See, John writes, "We get one chance, and if we don't make the most of it, we can do nothing to get our time back and try again." I've been studying an interesting scenario in the United States right now. They're calling this couple the modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. The guy of this couple had served 14 years in Pennsylvania prison for robbery, went to Arizona for a fresh start, ended up with attempted murder and a bunch of other stuff, and was going to serve another 14 years in prison. And the Bonnie of this couple, who's his fiance and his cousin, thought that only happened in other states, but she helped him escape. They're going across somewhere in the United States, Mexico. Nobody knows where they're at. Sadly, they do have a purpose, and it's to stay free. At the same time, sadly, they never did have a purpose. They never thought through. Otherwise, he would not be in the predicament that he's in, period. There's all kinds of travelers, and John talks about these. Listen to this. Matter of fact, you might want to jot it down just to figure out what type of traveler are you. There's Vince the victim. Vince is very quick to tell you that it's not his fault that he isn't getting anywhere in life. He doesn't make any plans because he's busy focusing on the time and energy on things out of his control. Have we not all been that way somewhere along our lines? we try to focus, or maybe we don't try, we just by habit, we focus on things we cannot control. In 1997, I could not control what Tessa was going through with her birth defect. I could not control the disease that was inside of her body. All I could control was my emotional state and how can I go overcome this. At the same time, I couldn't control when Paige had a miscarriage. And I'm sitting there in the bedroom, and I should say that her body passed a small little fetus into my hands. I laid it up by the pillow. I saw the tears in her eyes. I saw her questioning God. I had no control over that. Had no understanding and yelled at God, God, why? We've had great pregnancies. Why did you do this? I could have been Vince the victim. I'm not going to share the outcome of that story until I get to a couple of these others. There's foot-dragging Freddie. Freddie isn't worried too much about the past, and he doesn't want to think about the future. He's focused on the present. In fact, he loves the present so much that he's willing to do almost anything to maintain the status quo. Golly, man, I know how many people like that. Oh, let's not change anything. Just keep it this way. This is what we want. Matter of fact, every now and then I walk down the street and I still see him with the sideburns from the 1970s. They think Elvis is still the king of rock and roll. It's the craziest thing you see. There's Debbie the Dreamer. Debbie loves the plan, and she spends a lot of her time doing that. And she's got the greatest plans. The problem is she never turns the plans into action. She often has great ideas and says she wants to be successful, but she won't take the risks. Last week, I took a bold risk. It wasn't the smartest move, probably. But I took the risk, and I put up a video, and I asked some questions, and the response has been overwhelming. Sometimes you got to take the risk. Don't just keep planning and dreaming. Put the dream into action. Then there's motivated Michael. Finally, there's Michael. He focuses the majority of his time on the present, doing his best to maximize his potential. But one reason he is so effective today is that he spent a portion of his time yesterday planning. As a result, he's focused on his purpose and he's growing towards his potential and he's sowing seeds that benefit others out of the positive overflow in his life. I'll never forget the 24 hours that passed after that little fetus was delivered. Paige went into the hospital the next day. They did whatever they do with the female body to make sure that there were no disease and that everything was there the way it needed to be. I said, do you want me to go with you? And she said, no, I need to yell at God. And her and God, I'm sure, had a knockdown, drag-out, come-to-Jesus meeting. She came back home, and we sat around. Obviously, I would have made barbecue. I said, you're going to be all right? And she said, I am. She said, honey, I know God will use this in my life for something. I said, okay. Less than a year later, we were the co-owners in a successful restaurant in Kansas City. We had a little waitress, a little southern girl. One night she came in to us and she said, I'm pregnant. I said, well, congratulations. And she said, no, I don't know if it's my husband's or his brother's. She got herself so mixed up, so frustrated, so scared, that baby was about 23 weeks old, if I'm not mistaken. And she had it prematurely. The baby was so small, it literally would fit in the palm of my hand. The baby was so undermatured that you could not tell at that time that it was going to be a baby girl or a baby boy. The actual anatomy had not finished developing yet. Her mom couldn't relate. Her sisters couldn't relate. Paige could relate. Paige would go to the hospital and sit with her. when the baby, who was in an incubator, looked like the baby was going to pass away, the baby was going to die, and the mom was distraught, Paige made a suggestion. She said, if the doctors will allow it, since the baby's that far gone anyway, why don't you ask them if you can lay that little thing between your breast, push your breasts up around it, and just keep it warm. Just keep it close to you. I'm proud to say now, 97 to 2010, that little baby girl is growing into quite a little lady. She has no birth defects, nothing. Her mama loves her to death. She's her pride and joy. See, when that little baby got back up there at the heart and started hearing her mama's heartbeat, started hearing her mama's breath, started feeling that chest rise and fall, that baby started growing again. See, you got to be motivated. You got to know you got a purpose in life. Paige, at that moment, had a God thing. Honey, I know now why I went through what I went through. It was so I'd be able to help somebody else down the road. It didn't stop there, folks. I wish I could say it has, but it hasn't. I have three wonderful grown boys who have become men. All three of them have had babies out of wedlock. I'm raising my grandbabies now because none of my boys were at a stage where they could raise their own kids, and they all admitted that. And it's funny now because we sit there and say, you know, we just love kids anyway, so it's no big deal. We've had six of our own. Now we'll just raise the second generation. And Paige sat there one day, we were at the beach, I'll never forget this, and she said, honey, I get tired sometimes. I said, I know, and I get jealous sometimes. I'd love to have you all to myself. You know, there's nights I just want to go into the bedroom, close and lock the door, and just have a good old time. And you know what? There's usually a baby crying somewhere. But then one day Paige gets a call from her editor and says, Paige, with all you've gone through, I would like to throw a suggestion to you. How would you like to write a series on unwed pregnancy? Do a 3-book series and show the redemption. Show what these mamas go through and do it. And you know what? Paige just signed that contract last week. And her next 3 books will be on teenage pregnancy. See, it's amazing when you're focused, when you're motivated, when you got a purpose in life. It's amazing where you can go with it if you're focused. And that's what this book has allowed me to do and Paige to do. We've got a roadmap for our success. Are there things in life that we can't control that get in the way? Absolutely. Gilhouse and I talk about this on a regular basis. We both go through this. But here's the fun part. You go through it. You got an accountability partner. You get pissed off. You yell at each other, and then you go out there and you change the world. Might just be your little corner of the world. But you can do it. Listen to what John writes here. Taking the success journey requires the same attention to detail that a trip to Chicago would. It needs to be broken down into smaller segments to be more manageable. Goals are like points on a travel tick. Now, look, he wrote this book, and they tweaked it out in the early 2000s. Listen to me. If you're going on a success, if you're creating a success roadmap, you got to do it just like you would your GPS stuff. You got to know where your point of interest are going to be. I don't like the word goal. I think the word goal just sends a wrong message. I think people all the time go through life and they never reach their goals. I understand why John uses it, not knocking John, but here's what I would suggest. Every time you use the word goal, I'd scratch it out and I'd use the word objective. You may never reach your goals. Sad to say, it's just happened. Most people won't be committed enough to reach them. But I'll tell you this much, if you've got an objective, you will always hit an objective somewhere along the line. You will always have an outcome that you can refer back to and look at. And it doesn't have the same negative connotation as a failed goal. Objectives can be moved. Outcomes can be changed. Goals are either hit or they're not. Think about that one. I'm going to change every word in this chapter where John uses the word goals now to outcomes. Outcomes draw out your sense of purpose. When you look at your outcomes on your roadmap, you know where you're at. What used to take me 6 hours to drive to Alabama, I can do in 4.5 hours, and that's going the same speed limit that I've always gone. We're not going to talk about what that is, although I have two tickets that I got to pay here. But here's the kicker. Outcomes will draw out your sense of purpose. John writes, the number of people today who lack a strong sense of purpose is astonishing. Unfortunately, the lack of direction seems to be growing, not decreasing. I agree with that. The reason you see different crime rates, the reason you see stuff, they don't have a long-term purpose. Now, at the same time, having a purpose isn't always a good thing if the purpose is wrong. Prime example. The date, September 11, 2001, will never be forgotten in the United States. A group of people had a purpose. But the purpose was not to give to others. Matter of fact, this part here, if you don't get anything else except this today, listen to this. If your purpose is about you and what's in it for you, and that's all you see in your purpose is what's in it for me, and your purpose is not to help others, you've got the wrong purpose and the wrong look in life. On September 11, the purpose was to do harm to innocent people. All because they wanted to sacrifice under their misguided beliefs that they would end up in heaven with a bunch of virgins and be martyrs. It doesn't have to go as high as terrorism. I see this all the time in marriages. I see it in relationships. I see it in business. If your purpose is not the right purpose, you will still fail. You will not reach success. Objectives give you the go. Outcomes give you the go. Millionaire industrialist Andrew Carnegie wrote, actually he said, John wrote it, you cannot push anyone up a ladder unless he's willing to climb himself. A lot of times, and I got this from Art Williams. He has a book called Pushing Up People. I read it constantly. But this is an accurate statement. You cannot push people up. Tom Hopp today would not be my mentor if I did not want to grow. He would have seen that because his purpose is to help empower others. He would have said, Troy, it's great to know you. I'm glad you're my buddy. I don't have time. You only want to be focusing on people that want to climb the ladder. And if you're not willing to climb the ladder, do not expect people to be there to help you reach your purpose. And this cockamamie myth that it's lonely at the top is a lie. The closer to the top of the ladder I get, two things happen. I find out that it's an extension ladder and it keeps growing. There is no top to the ladder, whether it's in business, whether it's in personal life, whether it's in anything. I don't care what it is. If you are a grower, if you're looking for success because success is a journey, there is no top to the ladder. It's never lonely because you're meeting people all along the way. Some people are climbing down and you're saying, sayonara, have a good time. Other people are climbing up. You're meeting them. You're passing them. They're passing you. It's never lonely. And you'll find this out if you create the objectives and the outcomes because you're always on the go. Objectives give you focus on improvement, not activity. This is great. John writes this, as I mentioned before, most unsuccessful people cling to the idea that success is a destination. But now that you're beginning to see success truly is a journey, you realize that all along the way, all of the outcomes that you have, positive and negative, doesn't matter. They help you grow to reach your purpose. They help you grow towards the success. Outcomes create mild markers for progress. I've got outcomes all along the way. I document my life for my kids and my grandkids in life. I've got Bibles throughout the years that I've written in the margins so that my boys and my girls can look back and see what Dad went through. I have volumes of journals, personal, that I've written. I have 3x5 cards where I've created my trainings, my thoughts, everything. I have success journals. I believe documentation is what built this country. It's what's going to leave a legacy behind for my children. When you document your outcomes, all of a sudden, activity starts to improve. What happens is you find out that you've improved, and that's why you're more active. It's beautiful. It creates those outcomes, those flashpoints, those mile markers. So how do you create in the last 10 minutes? How can we get you to create your own roadmap? Here's what you have to do. Number one, recognize your dream. Everything starts with a dream. It starts with a focus. It starts with something that deep in your heart you have a passion to accomplish. One of my dreams, and it's coming to is with a tight group of people that I have learned to admire and to love, we will change direct marketing, selling, MLM, network marketing, forever. In a few years, it will be a mainstream business. In a few years, it will be one of the most respected industries in the world. That's a dream. We've got an action plan. I'm putting it to work. Recognize your dream. Observe your starting place. You have to know where the starting line is. You have to know where you're at right now. John writes this, "It's true that you cannot begin the success journey until you know where you want to go, but you also can't be successful if you don't know where you're starting from." You have to know these things. Listen to this. You have to know how great of a distance do you have to travel. If you don't have a starting point, there's no way to have an ending point. Your ending point may really be your starting point if you're not careful. You've got to know what you have working for you. You got to document. Listen, John writes this, no matter where you're starting on your journey, you have some things going for you. If your dream is to own a business, a skill such as a knack of handling money will be an asset. If success to you means raising children, then you will love kids, and that'll be a part of it. You have to know. You've got to document. You've got to write down what you have working for you, your talents, your assets, all that good stuff. You also have to know what you have to overcome. You know what my biggest obstacle was on my journey towards success? I mean, I'm talking about getting off the starting gate. My biggest obstacle was myself. Even today in business, my biggest obstacle is myself. Jim Gilhout calls it my guilt for success. Funny how those closest to you can say one phrase and it'll stick in your mind and you'll ponder it and you'll analyze it. And then somebody else like a Tom Hoppe will come by and say, "Stop, listen to me. Don't say those words. I don't want to hear those words. You have stuff to offer people and you need to get paid for it." And when you combine the both and you mush it up in your mind, you create a brand new plan of action. It's amazing. But most of the time, you're your biggest obstacle that you have to overcome. Last thing under the number two that you've got to look at is, what will it cost you to make the trip? It is going to cost something. It's going to cost energy, time, money, something. You have to know what it's going to cost. We're going to go into that deeper as we move forward. Third thing, you have to articulate a statement of purpose. My purpose is to live an epic adventure serving others so that they can reach their full life potential. Now, I'm ad-libbing that because I've got it written down in my journal. I can tell you in business, when I'm working with clients, success is having them reach some big point in their life. When I'm talking about family and friends, success is having my family know that I love them and that my friends to know that I serve them unconditionally. See, that's the key. You've got to articulate your purpose if you're going to make this thing fly, if you're going to make it happen. You have to define your outcomes. You have to know and define the outcomes and the objectives that you're going to have. Listen to me. This is how you've got to do that. If you want to see this written differently, go to Think and Grow Rich. Matter of fact, if you would like a free copy of Think and Grow Rich, send me an email, troy@acesradiolive.com. I'll be more than happy to send you a free ebook copy of Think and Grow Rich. But here's what you have to do. Under your goals, defining your goals, this is a must. Number one, they must be written. You have to know your written goals, objectives, outcomes, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. You name it. They have to be written down. Don't do this half-heartedly. I have a 8.5x11 binder. I wrote my goals back then. That's what I called them. I wrote them down in such vivid detail. I have my perfect day. In 1997, my perfect day was going to be getting up 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, opening up my electronic shutters and looking out from my condo over the Gulf of Mexico. I'd get into my T-Bird, and I would put the top down, and when I'd drive down 98 to Panama City, I'd drive up to my office. I would spend the day in my office, overlooking the Gulf of Mexico. I'd come home in the evening time, and I'd play with the kids. I'd have a wonderful time. I'd be in my office that was off of my bedroom. I could see through the glass windows at my wife as she was writing. Have a wonderful time. 1997. In 2000, my perfect day changed. In 2000, my perfect day became a reality. It was March 9th, 2000, the first day that we'd actually moved in and lived in our apartment in Destin, Florida, on a barrier island in the Panhandle. My perfect day has gotten a lot better. I don't live in a condo. I own a beautiful home with a private yard, with a swimming pool, with kids and grandkids that are always all over the place. I don't take my drive to Panama City, especially in a T-Bird. Instead, I get in a 1995 Ford 4x4 Custom Ranger. My little lady's not dressed in Christian Dior. I forgot to tell you that. I was wearing Christian Dior back then from top to bottom. Custom-made shirts. I even had Tom Hops cufflinks on back then. Today I have flip-flops, shorts, usually a T-shirt. We head down the beach not to go to some workplace. We work at home. I go down the beach and she says, "Hey, that looks like a shortcut. Let's take it." The truck goes into four-wheel drive and we go out into the woods or we go cruising up over a sand dune. We'll be out there in those woods, just the two of us, making hay while the sun shines. My perfect day would not be what it is today had I not written down something in 1997. It has to be personal. Your goals, your outcomes, it has to be personal. It has to be deep in your heart. They have to be specific. Putting down the goal, I want to be rich. Well, if I give you a dollar, you're richer than what you were. You better be specific. I want to be able to replace the $50,000 a year income that I have. I want to do it in a year. Whatever your objective is, write it down. Be specific. Make it achievable. Man, this is what sucks about most people in sales. They get in, they get motivated, somebody excites them, they see somebody out there that they think is a stud or a studette, and here's what they do. I want to be a millionaire in 90 days. They don't even know what they do with $1 million. If you've never had it, you cannot achieve it because you don't have anything in between you and it. You got to build up. You got to have giant dreams. Look, dream big or don't dream at all, but put an action plan to reach the dream and turn it into reality, doggone it. Your objectives, your goals must be measurable. You've got to be able to have those points. That's where the objectives and the outcomes come in. They have to be time sensitive. Put a timeline together. That's what it's going to take. That's how you build it up. That's how you make it. Listen to this. According to Greg Harris, 2/3 of the people that they surveyed, 67 out of 100, set goals for themselves. But of those 67, only 10 had made realistic plans to reach their goals. And out of that 10, only 2 followed through and actually made them happen. Folks, if you want to be able to succeed, you've got to be willing to adjust your plans along the way. You've got to be willing to write it down. You've got to be held accountable. You've got to kick butt and move it forward. But I believe you can do it if you really want to. Go buy John's book, Your Roadmap for Success. Tomorrow we start in Section 2, Growing to Your Full Potential. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. Have a fantastic day. We'll see you at the top. Bye now.